I'm just looking here to wait and everyone getting ready. So I guess we're ready. If anyone has a favourite, shout and we'll open with it. Good to see you all here.
You know.
Okay.
25.
I thought that was the Chad of the King coming right at me. 25 in the black book.
Blessing home with us, Lord, and share the joy and share the message. Please bless Christy as he leads the service, as he prepares to bring us the words that you've given him. Please inspire him even now, Lord, to bring your wisdom, your thoughts and your words to us. Pray, Lord, for our country, for the world. I pray, Lord, that you would constrain our leaders to do the right thing. I pray you too, Lord, to constrain the people to do the right thing as well. Please speak to many, Lord, about sin and judgment to come. And please, I pray, Lord, save souls. For this little hour or whatever that we've set aside, Father, please be one of our number. And not just us, Lord, but I think of Brother Stan, folks up in Bangor, and Lord, anybody, anywhere where there are two or three gathered together, we know, Lord, that you'll be in the midst. Bless this time, Lord, and we just ask this, and of course for our private prayer requests and petitions, Lord, ask them all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Anyone else?
Well, from the back room.
Let's stand as we sing, I Know My Name Is There. Written in the book of life. Come ahead.
Turn tonight to Psalm chapter 3. Sorry, 1 Samuel chapter 3. A lot of difference there.
Psalm Samuel.
Just because I've been using the Psalm so much. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And the end of the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he says, I call not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and says, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if we call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at all times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone which that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor for offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things which he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he says, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen.
Here technically to bring the announcements, but there are not that many announcements or changes that have been made. First of all, I'd like to thank Will for the Bible reading. 1 Samuel 3 is an excellent chapter with many good verses that it certainly wouldn't do people any harm to take note of. And talks about none of the words of the Lord fall into the ground. That's powerful stuff. Anyway, thank you for that. I just have a few announcements new to what's here that we got this morning. First of all, Christy's Auntie Mary, is in hospital with a chest infection or a lung infection, possibly due to the COVID that was in the house. She's upstairs in Alton Galvin right about now, so please do pray for Mary and the rest of her family. And you may remember signing a card for Joanne, who came over here to have her baby in the UK. Well, she will be heading back home on, is it Thursday?
Tuesday.
It's that foreign lady at the back that's going home on Thursday. The other lady's going home on Tuesday. And on that note, please do pray for Taylor. As she prepares to travel back home to the States on Thursday as well. And for Christy. Other than that, if anybody has any private prayer requests, we already have a handful of definites. Please let me know. And we will put a line under your name or write your name in and make sure that we are praying for your private prayer request. I know we haven't actually mentioned the folks on the Maboy Road. We didn't mention it this morning, but please don't forget to pray for all of the houses. I think all but one or two we have spoken to and given CDs and things to of the services and Christmas cards and one thing and another, and of course have received an invitation to join us on a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or Wednesday evening. So please do pray for them, especially for Norman. I think the last bungalow on the left, as you go down that a ways, his dad passed away there just, I think it was about a month ago, due to COVID. And please do pray for Stephen and Anne-Marie next door. Her dad is quite ill. I think he has Alzheimer's as well, and he is deteriorating very quickly and quite markedly. So please do pray for them as they work out the details of that. Other than that, just take a look around the church. Pray for all the faces that are here. We miss Ling and Frank and Norman this evening, and Pat and Steve and Esther. And of course, we will continue to miss Leonard and all the adventures that we had with him over the years. And we will still pray for them. And don't forget those that have been and gone. Amen. One thing that there hasn't been any mention of, I think this Normally Will would mention, and I can't recall if you did earlier on, brother, but our missions outreaches with the kids for schools, and I'm not blaming you for anything, I'm just, you normally remind me. Kids for Schools, Christian Institute, and Francis Cosgrave, please do pray for these three missions endeavours. We know that there are hundreds and perhaps thousands of others which the Lord knows about, and you may be able to mention in one or two of them individually, but the Lord knows all those that are His and all that love Him and are serving Him. And even for you to call out the missions outreaches, He knows who needs a wee help, a provision or a protection. So please do remember those as well. Of course, don't forget our leaders in our country. Whether you love them or you couldn't like them if they were dipped in chocolate, you're commanded to pray for them. We are commanded to pray. They're there because the Lord allowed them to be there, or the Lord put them there. So please do pray for the head of the DUP, the SDLP, Sinn Féin, whoever it is that does what office up in Stormont and in the Houses of Parliament and all of those places. Please do pray for them. I'm sure Taylor and Monica and Norman, if he was here, would have you pray for America as well. I am not saying President Trump is an agent of God, but he is where he is, and he's probably the only chance that America has of even taking a step backwards from the brink of, I would say destruction in the next 4 years. Please do pray for America over the next few days. The 6th of January is a very, very important date. And I've been praying for the past 4 years that a lot of people would go from dark grey three-piece suits to one-piece orange jumpsuits and change their address to Guantanamo Bay. But the Lord knows, and it's probably a good job that I am not the one who actually decides this, because I would have a few extra names in there as well. But please do pray for America. It is very serious, and it does affect a fair few of us directly in church. And it does affect us all in the UK indirectly. Maybe not so quite, not so indirectly, because under the current president, our departure from the EU has been encouraged by President Trump. But President Obama and, of course, President Harris / Biden are very much against Britain leaving the EU and would probably bring to bear pressure on our country. So there's a lot going on. It would make the series of Dynasty or Dallas look like romper room for the children of years gone by compared to what's actually going on. And there's no way, I don't think, that any one person can keep a track of all the shenanigans and dirty dealings that's going on, except for the Lord. So just pray that His will would be done. And if there is anything you need to get done, anyone you need to speak to, any people that need to get a gospel tract, well, do them. The Lord said He'd come like a thief in the night, and who knows? It could be tonight, could be tomorrow night, could be 10 years down the line. But do what you can for the Lord when you get the opportunity. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you, Christy, again, for taking the mantle and leading the church of a Sunday evening. I am getting there, but I would like to hear the end of the study in Acts. Not tonight, but over the next few weeks and months. And amen. Thank you for all your prayers. My health continues to improve. My shoulder is much improved. Still a bit to go, but definitely doing much better. So thank you for all your help and support. Please do pray for Grace Bible, Black Creek Baptist, and what does Stan call his place down in? Stan, Brother Stan, down in Bangor. Brother Bissett. There are many other men that stand up to be counted for the cause of Christ. If you remember their names, pray for them, and if you don't, pray for them anyway. But I think that's about that. So I'll We'll close our eyes and we'll pray, and then we'll let Christy get back up again. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for all the many helps that you've sent our way. And Lord, at the risk of sounding like a shopping list, I pray you please that you would grant our prayer requests and petitions for the well-being of each soul that's here, for travelling mercies for Joanne and her dad and her son as they head back to Taiwan, for Taylor as she prepares to go home on Thursday. Lord, for each one of us, for honouring you with our presence, Lord, and just being here to lift up our praises and prayers and tithes and just for this time of fellowship in your presence, Lord, I pray you please for your good hand upon us. I do thank you, Lord, that you have not given us what we're due. Thank you, Lord, that you have not made us pay for every recompense, because we would never be done. In fact, our very lives would be forfeit. Thank you, Lord, for a new home in heaven, a new body when this one's done, a new purpose, a new family, new friends. Lord, I just thank you for being there for us all. We know, Lord, that once we're saved, we can never be removed from your hand. And I pray you please, Lord, that we would not be as Paul and kick against the pricks. Lord, we love you. Thank you for preserving your word. Thank you for giving us your son. Thank you, Lord, for that other comforter. And thank you, Father, for the open invitation. Don't be done with us, Lord. Please just walk up and down the hall this evening and speak to those that know you with comfort and strengthen, and those that don't, Lord, with conviction and reason. Just ask all this, Lord, and of course our private prayer requests and petitions, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Correct one prayer request there. Taylor said she's not going home, she's just going to study and then coming back.
That's grand.
I'm only joking. Anyone else got a favourite hymn?
Wife 14, the black one. Wife 8, the Father of Love.
It's a black book kind of day. I think we were all black book this morning, weren't we?
I think we should move all the black book to the black book.
Just pin them black.
We're coming in with a black spray can.
Hear my mocking voice.
thinking in verse number 2 where how hard it must have been, because it's hard to bear your own failings and misgivings, but bearing all the failings and misgivings and sins of all the people in the world, how heavy that must have been upon his shoulders. Thank God for bearing our load upon his shoulders. Anyone else got a favourite hymn? One of the back benches, call a number. That's alright, at least I know them ones. If it's from this bench, you better know it. 55. Sweat's off. Let's stand as we're saying number 55.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll
Bibles and turn them, finish in Acts 13 tonight. Not be the end of Acts, but it'll be the end of Acts chapter 13. Each of us, when we were in school, had a registration period every morning where your name was called out, and if you were late, which I often was in school and still am today, you could get them to correct it at a later date or a later time and mark you present rather than absent. So there is going to be no late corrections in heaven if you're not there when your name's called. Mm-hmm. So you better get it sorted out now if you don't already have it sorted out. And it is good to know that you're as good as present there if your name's written there already. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have that sorted before our name is even called. Thanks for the hymn choices. But we're in Acts 13 anyway. We are reading from verse 43 through 52. And there's a choice of two titles. I'll let you choose which one. It's the Continuing in Grace Church, or it's the Publishing Church. Whichever one you like. It's kind of a dual theme running through this study. So whatever you write or whatever you choose, just pick whichever one you like best. Acts 13, starting at verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city together. I'm going to start that verse again. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust off their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, would you lead us in prayer?
Yeah, Father, thank you this night, Lord. Thank you for giving the tune of mercy through that as he goes, Lord, and through the temperatures, Lord. May you bring us safely and secure to your house tonight, Lord. We offer a number of blessings to everyone that is covered, Lord. And gives a mighty message from Christ as he comes to deliver from the book of Acts, Lord. Use it to point us to things in our lives, Lord, that you want us to improve on, Lord, and change, Lord, and how to know you more, Lord, and how to love you more, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the salvation purchased on the cross by Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for saving us from our sins, Lord. Go for the people who came with you, Lord, with their Mr. Hunter message in the Malone Manor and Microfit, Lord. Bless them and keep them, Lord, and Mr. Hunter and keep them safe and well, Lord. And with John, Lord, as he was away, Lord. Go for him also, bring them to high fixed point in time, Mr. Hunter also, Lord. And Lord, with Esther, Lord, and Stephen Pat, help them in their conditions and their skin conditions and their diabetes, Lord. Help them also, Lord. And Lord, help them and keep them, Lord, and keep them from COVID, Lord. And provide for them and keep them, Lord. And be with us this night, Lord, and Lord, guide us, Lord, with the word, Lord, and show us more about thee, Lord. Be with us and keep us for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. As with every study, start with the previous one, and our previous study was the church with a history, where we looked at Paul's first sermon. They were at the synagogue, and there's often a call after the prayers are offered. To anyone who has a word of exhortation to stand up and speak, and this was an opportunity Paul couldn't pass by or let go. So he stood up and he went through some of the history points of Israel, how God used people and steered Israel through the wilderness and gave them victories and brought then the Messiah through Jesus Christ and proclaimed him to the people that were in attendance. And that brings us to our text today, where the Jews left the synagogue and then the Gentiles besought or begged them to preach to them the next Sabbath. So here we are the next Sabbath in this third study in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We know from that verse that the gospel is the power of God unto everyone that believes, to salvation. Power in the Greek is the word dunamis, from which we derive the word dynamite. It means strength, power, or ability. And the gospel often provokes, and we'll see a reaction or multiple reactions here, explosive reactions in people, whether positive or negative. Whilst it is the binding factor in many families, it's also the cause of division in other families. Not every family is a Christian family, and even amongst Christian families it can be a divisive factor or a divisive thing. When opinions differ and interpretations differ, it is not the thing that brings husband and wife and children together, but rather separates. The Lord said, and we're turning to Matthew 10, verse 34 through 36, just to read. The Bible will say it better than I can. Matthew 10, 34 through 36 says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. We know that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even the bone and marrow, it says. But it is a great discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And when revealing the thoughts and intents of the heart, that brings out that outward reaction, which can be related to dynamite in some senses, as you see people's face explode, and even then their actions follow. But that brings us to the reaction to Paul's sermon, verse number 32. I think it's good if we step back one verse from our text. The Jews left the synagogue, many of them heard the message, as they often do, heard the preaching, then the word of exhortation, and left. But the Gentiles, this was a new way of preaching for them. Many Gentiles are God-fearers, or almost Jews as they were known of, sat in the synagogues as they had respect to the Jewish religion, but didn't make a full commitment to it. They obviously seen the rituals and heard these words of authority of Paul the Apostle, proclaiming that the Messiah had been, and that they had slain him on a tree and laid him in a sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead again. And here we have them begging, saying, come to us next Sunday. You're not appreciated here. They all left. We're still here. And through my time in church, which has been around 10 years or more, I haven't seen many people come to the preacher after and say, preach to us next week. Come and preach again, or stay with us and preach here. Preach another one. Steve will be cringing at that, because he'd often say to Mark, keep going, stop looking at the clock. So Steve can lay a claim to that. But they desired the word, and we go on and we see the whole city of Poseida. I think I'm saying that wrong, but it's in Antioch in 44. Almost the whole city comes together to hear the word of God the following Sunday. So there is a great reaction, a great crowd. The Gentiles not only wanted to hear it themselves, but they wanted Paul and Barnabas to come to their city so that their family members and friends could hear it also. They knew it was important. It says they besought him, they begged, they appealed, they pleaded with Paul to come and preach. And it's a good indication to me that they were either under strong conviction or they were already saved and wanting to learn more about the grace of God, as they had that appetite for the word of God. But Christians should love the preaching of God's word. I'm not saying you'll like every message, but we should love hearing that old, old story. That story of the amazing grace on Calvary's mountain, where Jesus shed his precious blood, that rich red royal redeeming blood, to redeem you and I, to reconcile us to God through taking our place. Even after the service was over, people followed him and allowed Paul and Barnabas to continue preaching. Verse 43, and what were they preaching about? It says they persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Many people see the grace of God as the almost the invitation to the Christian life, but it's not just the start of it. It continues throughout the whole Christian walk and the Christian life. It's the very foundation of our relationship with God. It is the thing that helps us through the trials and tribulations. God continually provides grace. Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound, the Bible says. It means when you do something wrong, when I do something wrong, there's more grace. No matter how the depths of sin, of despair and sin that we fall into, God's grace is there for you and I. God's grace is not just at the beginning of your salvation. It goes far beyond that, and we ought to continue in grace. It's just as, if not more important, to continue in grace rather than to begin in grace. It's the very principle of our relationship with God. And there's a couple of things about grace. The psalmist said it this way: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Even on your worst day, there's two stalkers walking up behind you. When you wake up in the morning, goodness and mercy is there to greet you. Renewed mercies every morning, it says in Ecclesiastes, I believe it is. They're new every morning. God's grace is undeserved favor. It's kindness, it's goodwill, it's love, and it's affection. That's what God's grace is, and that's not just a one-off transaction. That's a continuing gift. Hebrews 4, another aspect of grace, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we've all had time of need. We've all had time of despair and trouble and persecution and oppression. We've all faced hard times in our lives. We've all faced times where we think that God's just far from us. And maybe we thought that God's grace was absent in those times, but here Hebrews tells us we need to go and seek it and find it and look for it and ask for it. God gave us the boldness and the ability to do it, but sometimes it's not there because we don't ask. You see, grace is a thing that can be sought and gained as and when we need it. And it's there in those time of need to help. 2 Peter 3:18, tells us to grow in grace. And that growing in grace, as we face those hard times, those struggles, those trials, and we get back to God and His throne, His throne of mercy, the mercy seat, and we plead for that situation in heaven, and God giveth more grace. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. There is grace for lost souls, there's grace for Christians. And the grace for Christians is for every step in this walk of life that we have chosen to follow and continue to walk within. And the grace of God for sinners who are lost in their sin is that inviting grace. But let us grow in grace. Let us continue in grace, not just forget about God's grace. I never want to get over the grace of God that He gave the day I met Him at the front porch of the church there. But I also never want to take for granted the grace that follows me day by day as I walk in this journey. Let us not forget that grace of God is continuing. The grace of God empowers us to reflect God's character in everything that we do. As we go about our daily lives, as we interact with people, as we love our brethren, as we serve our families and friends, as we raise our families, as we work a job, as we just be a good neighbor. It helps us reflect or radiate the love of God. It enables or empowers us to love our enemies, to pray for those that persecute us and hate us, and to forgive those that have wronged us. That's God's grace. That's because you received it, you're able to give it out. And the more God gives, the more you can give. Let us not just think that grace is a one-off thing. Grace of God is continual, and let us be a church that continues in the grace of God. What an outward display of change we have here as we move on. And in the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city. And that isn't even a hard thing to picture. We can picture all the Derry/Londonderry gathering at the Guildhall Square to hear and proclaim the word of God. Now in those days, we're kind of overwhelmed by information in these days. The internet, we have radio, we have magazines, we have newspapers, we have smartphones and social media. They didn't have that in these days, so obviously a stranger coming from a different city would have been a cause of attraction, but it wasn't merely the power of novelty that was the key attracting factor, but rather the word of God and the power of it. The missionaries were proclaiming the gospel here, Paul and Barnabas, and the Gentiles were interested. Never before had it been to them. God's plan was always for the Jews to hear it first. But it says to the Jews first, not to the Jews only. It was always intended to go to the Gentiles after the Jews. And here we have it come to fruition. We see another reaction. We see the jealousy of the Jews as they look upon almost the whole city and gathering together to hear Paul the Apostle preach and proclaim Jesus Christ, the Savior of all men, especially those that believe, is what Paul's letter to Timothy said. And if the Holy Spirit hadn't convicted as many people, the Jewish religious leaders wouldn't have been half as bothered. But because the Holy Spirit done a mighty work and almost the whole city was out to hear the word of God, rather than rejoicing at all the souls that were hearing the word of God, they got envious. They got jealous. And then they started contradicting the words that Paul spoke. They started blaspheming. And I think that blaspheming probably refers to the language that they used against Paul and Barnabas. They probably cursed him up and down until he blew in the face. And how ironic is it that a religious people who have waited so long for a Messiah to come would reject him as he presented to them. Not only was it based upon their jealousy, but their reaction was based upon prejudice. They hated the Gentiles and wanted nothing to do with them. So if this Messiah was going to see these Gentiles started to get saved, they wanted nothing to do with them at all. Rather than rejoicing that all souls could be born again. I love Paul and Barnabas' reaction and the words that they have. They have a great zeal for God and the things of God. It says they wax bold. And they couldn't let this challenge go unanswered because of their zeal that they had. And they tell them, look, the word of God came to you first. It was necessary that you should hear it first. I love this part here because this disproves Calvinism. Taylor thinks I mention Calvinism in every message. It's my pet peeve and I don't care. I'll keep mentioning it as the Bible disproves it. It doesn't say that God judged you unworthy of everlasting life. It says you judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. God provided the means, but you chose not to take it. So therefore, we'll turn to the Gentiles. If you won't hear us, we'll go somewhere that will hear us. But they judged themselves unworthy of it. They rejected it. They refused it. It wasn't that the option wasn't there. Salvation's open to all. Jesus loves all. Mm-hmm. People just judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life. I think that's a nice way to put it. I think the choice of words there is good because people see how Christians live and are and they think immediately, well, I have to be like that to get into heaven. But no, you don't. You come to Jesus as you are and he'll take you as you are. He'll not leave you that way, but he'll take you as you are right then and there. You're not unworthy of everlasting life because Jesus gave of his life for yours. He died so that we could live forevermore. And they went to the Gentiles in 47 based on God's command. That's what he says. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So it was always in God's plan to save the Gentiles, or at least to offer salvation to them. Not only was it in God's command, but these very words are spoken by the prophet Isaiah in 49 verse 6. It was according to God's prophecy as well. Almost repeats the words exactly like they're said in Isaiah. You can look that reference up if you like. I can go there and read it if we like as well. But the gospel was available to all and is currently available to all. And another reaction we have after the Gentiles heard the sermon and heard the reaction of Paul and Barnabas to this challenge in 48, they were glad and they glorified the word of God. They were thankful for it. They were thankful that they had the opportunity to hear it and that someone would be faithful to come and proclaim it to them. Oftentimes I'll just think of a few people that have, you know, taken the faithful step to proclaiming the gospel to me, obviously the pastor being one. There was Stan as well. There was many people who stood here in this pulpit and came throughout the years, who faithfully took the step, obeyed God, and because of that faithfulness, the gospel came to me and I met Jesus. But this wouldn't have occurred, this wouldn't have happened. The word had Paul not been faithful. Many believed and got saved, it says at the end of 48. And then, if you choose to publish in church, here we are in verse 49. The word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. They didn't hold it back from any specific region or any specific sect of that society. There was no prejudice involved in Paul and Silas, or Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas. They didn't care who you were, where you were from, who your family was. They didn't care who daddy or granddaddy was or mommy was. They didn't care what you worked at, how much you had in your bank, how nice or fancy your house or car was. They knew that all men needed to hear the gospel and they would go and faithfully discharge that duty to all who they would come in contact with and all who lived in that region. And that's the challenge to the church, is to preach the word, preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Doesn't matter red, yellow, black or white. They're precious in Jesus' sight. Doesn't matter where you've been because of where Jesus has been. Doesn't matter who you are but because of who he is. And doesn't matter what you've done but because of what Jesus has done. You can be saved. And we ought not to limit who we preach to or be a help to. Or show God's character to. And they didn't. They published it throughout the world, throughout all that region. And then it will continue and go throughout all the world. Just imagine if in the instance in the synagogue, Paul the Apostle had have said, I'll just let someone else speak today. I'm not feeling up to it today. I'm having an off day. Or I had an argument with Barnabas about Mark John there recently. I'm just going to sit and I'm not going to do it because I'm in a bad mood because of that. Or imagine he let fear overtake him and say, not today, it's... there's too many people here watching. Too many people's going to look at me. We never would have had the Jews hearing the gospel there. We never would have had the Gentiles begging him after he had preached to come to them the next Sabbath day. We never would have had almost the whole city of Pisidia, I think it is, coming out to hear the word of God. We never would have had the jealous Jews. And we never would have had the many believers who were added to the church. Because someone let an opportunity pass by them. And the question is to us today, is are we a publishing church? Yes, we might proclaim the gospel, but are we truly taking the opportunities to present themselves? I think I know the answer to everyone there. And if we're all honest with ourselves, you don't have to say it out loud. I know that we're not. I know we've all probably had ministering opportunities, but because we've been wronged by those people before, we just thought, not this time. Not this time. I'm not even talking about verbalizing the word of God. I'm just talking about showing a bit of love. Showing a bit of care. And then there's obviously times where we don't verbalize because of fear. But let us take the opportunities where they arise and where they present themselves. And let us be a publishing church. Publishing individual. And again, we have the jealousy of the Jews in verse 50. They stir up the devout and honorable women. And no offense to any woman present, but any barman will tell you that most fights start with women being stirred up with a drink in them. That's what I think. Mark worked in a bar, and maybe it was him that said it, but I heard a barman say it. So you can blame Mark. That's what they say. The women stir up the men, and then the men get to fighting with one another. And this is clearly a tactic that was used back in the day as well. They stirred up all those devout women. And then they went to the chief men of the city to raise up persecution. And how ironic, here is Jesus' prediction or prophecy for Paul the Apostle, showing him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake coming to fruition as he suffers persecution. Once a persecutor, a Saul the oppressor, but now Paul the Apostle suffers persecution at the hands of a jealous Jew or Jews. And they chase them out of their coasts. What will they do? They shake off the dust from their feet and they move on to the next place that will hear them. And I like verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. The pursuit of happiness doesn't always result in the possession of joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not based on circumstance, but rather on God's presence. They were joyful because they had seen God work in their lives. They had heard His word and they had the Holy Ghost working with them and within them and for them. That's when true joy comes. When we know that I am His and He is mine. When we know that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And when we know my name is written in the book of life. That's when we can have true joy. Jesus said, rejoice not because you have power over serpents, but rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. And what it is to know that when we take our last breath and close our eyes for the last time on this earth, we shall wake up on those streets of gold. Even on our worst day, that circumstance is still the same. So let us be a joyful people. I'm not saying we always need to be happy and like a robot always smiling. But let us remember that we have a Savior who loves us and there's a dying world out there who need Him. And let us shed forth that joy to others. Amen. Let us be a continuing in grace church and a publishing church. They're not mutually exclusive. Just because you choose one title doesn't mean you choose which aspect of this message that we get to implement or apply in our lives. Let us be both. Mm-hmm. Amen. The end. You wanted to hear the end? You heard the end. Anyone got a closing hymn?
Rescue the Perishing.
377, I think. Yep. Let's stand as we sing Rescue the Perishing.
377.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. crushed by the tempter. Feelings like burning that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful.
Words have been rattling around in my head since I studied this message, and it's better than I deserve. So no matter what happens in our lives, we can truly say, I'm better than I deserve. I think Cammy always says that when I ask, how are you? Doesn't matter what happens to you, we deserve hell.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not in hell, no matter how bad it is here, we'll never be in hell if we're saved. That's better than I deserve. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Mark, close us out.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, conviction of it and the indwelling of it. Lord, thank you for being there, just waiting to hear from us, waiting to speak to us, to comfort us and strengthen us, to give us portions of wisdom and even sometimes, Lord, a thick ear and a sore behind. We appreciate the message that Christy brought to us this evening. I pray, you, Lord, not just as a building or as a corporate entity, but as individuals, that we would be a graceful church. Lord, we love you. As Brother Christie's already said, we have gotten so much more than we will ever deserve. Let us take and use that and point more souls to the foot of the cross. Bless each one of us, Lord, as we part company. See us safely home and back at the next appointed time. And Lord, we just love you and thank you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will, Father.